This is a bit of an odd story. It takes place right up the street 34 years ago, over there on Falls Road, I think, at the Hamden Recreation Center. Before I start that, I wanted to say that originally I grew up in Louisiana. I grew up in a small town outside of New Orleans called Kenner, which is a part of Jefferson Parish. And I grew up in the late 60s and 70s, and it was a what you would call a classic southern town. All of the black people lived in one section on this side of the railroad tracks by the river, and all the white folks lived on the other side of the railroad tracks, except the older ones who lived downtown. So it was like a little square, a square, and then a little square that was downtown. And it wasn't, I don't have any horror stories. It was what it was. You understood where the lines are drawn. It wasn't that we couldn't cross the other side of the railroad tracks. We did quite frequently. But, you know, you just knew this is where we live, that's where they live. And one other thing about the they is they were not Brady Bunch white kids. These are what we would call cornbread-eating white boys. So my grandmother and my mom would always warn us about going over the other side, because my grandmother would say, you know, those white folks over there practice what she called white folk nonsense. And so... you did make friends, but it was always whatever it was. It was a kind of a delicate balance. You had a certain degree of comfortability with the situation, and you just rolled with it. And the word cracker is sometimes used affectionately, depending on the context. So, 1990, I leave the Army. I was in Fort Sill, Oklahoma. I move to Baltimore. And I settle in right here on Maryland Avenue in Charles Village. And I called the city because I was interested in coaching Little League Baseball, because I had done it before. I was a camp counselor and other stuff. And they said, well, where do you live? I said, I live here on Maryland Avenue. And they said, okay, well, the closest one is this rec center in Hamden. So I said, okay, well, then I'll go by there. So I waited about a month or so, May, around the same time when it opened up. And at the time I rode a motorcycle. I took my motorcycle and I rode over there, parked out in front of the wreck. And then I walked in, and there was a whole bunch of white kids out front. And there was even more white kids and family members inside the building. And as I walked in, all the kids kind of just looked up at me, and they stopped talking. And I walked into the rec, and there was a woman sitting at a table, and she says, can I help you? And I said, well, I see a sign out for Little League Baseball managers, assistant managers. I was thinking I would sign up, volunteer. So she says, well, you got to go down the hallway to the cage, they called it, where all the baseball bats and were. So as I turn a corner, the hallway's filled with people, 50 or 60 kids, parents, all white. So I start walking down the hallway, and as I passed, everyone would stop talking and just look up at me walking down the hall. So I get all the way to the cage, and I said, guy shows up, old guy goes, can I help you? And I said, well, I was looking to volunteer for a Little League Baseball coach, assistant coach. And he says, how'd you get here? I said, well, I rode over from Maryland Avenue. And he says, why are you here? So I said, well, I wanted to coach Little League Baseball. There's a sign out front. And the city sent me over here. And he kind of stopped. And he turns around, and there's some other people behind him, older people, two women, two guys, and they all kind of huddled together. And I'm looking at them, and what I presumed was you know, I know every city has their neighborhoods, and I figured, okay, this is one of those neighborhoods. They're going to tell me that, you know, we don't have any positions open. Try some other time or next year or some other place. I was perfectly capable of saying, okay, great, take it easy. They met for a few minutes, and then he turns around, and he has a clipboard in his hands, and he said, so the city sent you over here? I said, yeah. They, you know, so he gives me the clipboard. He says, you fill this out, and we'll call you to see if we have an assignment. So I went to take the clipboard, and he wouldn't quite let it go. He's kind of, and he lets it go, and I fill it out, give it to him, and then I leave. I walk out, and everybody just kind of looking at me, and I leave, and I go, okay, I'm probably never going to hear from these people again, which at the time I'm thinking, fine by me. So about 2 weeks later, they call me, and he says, you know, we have a position. We want you to come and see. He goes, he's a little younger than you, but he's the manager. You'll be the assistant manager. I said, okay. I was surprised. I said, all right, well, I'll see you on, you know, Friday or whatever the day it was. I went down there. I met the coach. He was younger. He was like maybe 20. I was like 23. And so we talked. And he said, this is the team you're going to belong to. This is your coach. You know, your practice field is all the way at the end. So I was a little surprised. I said, okay, well, I took it all the way down to the end, and we got to the team, and everything was fine. We said, okay, well, this is the team. We listened to the team. The team kind of stared at me a little bit, and we started to practice. Now, as we practiced, the third baseman, who was about 11 years old, He was chewing tobacco. He had a can of Copenhagen, which I was familiar with because I was in the Army. I go, that's okay. And the funny thing was, his mom would hold the spit can for him across the white line, and she sat in a little lawn chair, and he would hold his hand out, and she'd run over, and he'd spit in it, and she'd run back over it, and I'm going. So I told the coach, I said, look, you know, the problem, I'm not worried about the chewing tobacco part. It's taking too much time out of the practice. He's stopping, he's going over there, and we're like, and the guy goes, well, you need to talk to his mama. I said, why don't you talk to his mama? And he goes, you talk to his mama. So I said, okay. I mean, once again, I'm aware of the situation, generally speaking. I'm not afraid of these people. I said, okay, I'll go talk to his mama. I said, ma'am, we got to stop at the chaw. This is not working, just timing-wise. It's too much time in the practice for the back and the forth with the spitting. And she looked at me. She picked up her little lawn chair, and she says, well, very well, then. She went over. He spit it all out in the can, and she went and sat down behind the line, and the practice continued. So I was a little surprised by that. I'm like, oh, that was okay. So whenever we would practice, I would see that the what I call the recreation brain trust, which these two old guys, they would sit on the outside of the rec, and they would watch us practice, which I always thought was kind of weird because I'm like, well, they don't watch any other teams. Well, what's that all about? And whenever I would go back, they were always meeting, and they would come out and greet me and go, so how's everything going? I'm like, it's fine. It's Little League baseball. You know, we got bats and balls. Everything's great. So at one point in the middle of the season, we had one kid, and this is typical, stereotypical. This is like if you ever seen the Bad News Bears, the one kid who's supposed to be a really good baseball player but a pain in everybody's ass. This kid is supposed to be, now I never saw him play, so I couldn't vouch whether he played or not, but he was running around irritating everybody. And the coach would, like, chase him off. I would chase him off, and he'd come back, and he starts throwing stuff at the players. So I go out to the field. I says, I'm going to get rid of this kid once and for all. So I go out there, and I don't really chase him. I kind of move fast. He separates a little bit, and he kind of runs around me, and I say, look, man, you need to stay away from the field while we're practicing. And he says, you can't tell me anything. And I walk a little close to him, and he says, get away from me, nigga. So at that point, it was almost like an icebreaker. I'm like, well, finally. I think you're probably speaking for the whole place here. So I told him, I says, look, I'll stay away from you if you stay away from the field. You come out on this field, you got to deal with me every time. So when he said that, one of the other kids said, oh, I heard him gasp. He tells another kid, and then he runs over and tells this other kid. So when the kid leaves, I turn around. I see the coach of the team, the man, running away from the field towards the rep. And I'm like, where is he going? What the hell? So I was like, all right, well, let's just keep practicing. So we continue to practice, and eventually the manager comes back. I'm like, where'd you go, man? He says, oh, I just had to go down to the rec for a minute. I'm like, okay. So the rec brain trust came out, and they were watching us again. So when practice was over, the coach tells me, I think they want to see you at the rec. So I said, all right. So I go down to the rec. I'm in there. They're all in there. That kid is in there. And they go, we just want to tell you something, that this is a little unusual for us around here, and he's got something to say to you. And I said, hold. I said, stop. I said, I'm not interested in a forced apology. If he wants to apologize to me, I'm at the field. If he doesn't, great. Just keep him away from the field. So he stayed away from the field. Now, in that moment, when we were leaving and he was there and all the kids are in the rec, it occurred to me that all these people are related to each other. Because it reminded me, growing up in Louisiana, there's certain towns, like Chalmette is one of them, where we were told that if you get stopped, or if a sheriff or a deputy says something to you, and you get a ticket and you got to go before a judge, don't say anything about that deputy. Because that's probably his cousin on the bench. And the bailiff is probably his brother. And there are towns in Louisiana that have one high school, and everybody goes to that, and they are all like this. And I felt like that, in that rec going, just the way they talked to each other, the way they leaned on each other, it was like, all right, this is like some kind of extended family here. And I'm in the middle of that, and I'm like, eh, but I didn't really bother them. I'm like, I'm not here to try to convert anybody to anything. I was just here to coach baseball. So we go through the season. Now, the next week, because, you know, you separate by about 4 or 5 days, I go back. My coach says, so how's everything going? I'm like, everything is fine. So he says to me, so, you know, what do you think of Mayor Schmoke? And I'm like, I don't know. What should I think of Mayor Schmoke? Now, just a brief separation here. I had been in Baltimore 5 months. I didn't know who the mayor was. It didn't mean, like, I don't think of, like, I didn't go to a city and say, well, let's get into politics. So he says to me, he goes, you know, he's the city's first black mayor. And I'm like, oh, that was the first time I heard that. I said, okay, great. And I said, you know, the first black mayor that I experienced was in 1979, so that's pretty good, 10 years, all right. I didn't think anything of it at the time. I was like, so what does that have to do with anything? So he says, oh, just you know, whatever, we're just you know, just letting you know, just, you know, talk. I said, okay, fine. So we continued through the season. We played the games. I never see that other kid again. That's fine. I see him, but he doesn't come by the field. And so we go into the playoffs. We lose the first game of the playoffs. And at that point, season's over. I get my stuff. I go to the coach. I shake his hand. I say, all right, man, that's it. I'm going to leave. And in my mind, I'm saying, I'm never coming back to this place again. But I, on my way out, he says to me, he says, so, how did we do? I said, well, what do you mean, how did we do? We lost the first round of the playoffs. He says, no, the rec. How did the rec do? What do you mean, how did the rec do? The rec is fine. Well, you know, I mean, don't you have to report back to the city? I'm like, what are you talking about? Report back to what city? Well, you said the city sent you over here. I said, the city didn't send me over here. They sent me over here because I called them up. So he started to laugh, and he puts his head down. Now, I still don't quite know what he's talking about. I'm like, what's so damn funny? So he goes, you know, everybody in the rec thought that you were sent over here by the city to keep an eye on us. And I'm like, keep an eye on you for what? Baseball? So he's like, oh, don't worry about it. That's pretty funny, though. I'm like, I guess so. So I get on my bike, and I'm riding back, and it just dawned on me what the hell just happened the past 3 months. I'm like saying, well, that's why everybody was acting so weird. That's what the meetings are for. That's why he didn't let go of the clipboard. And he's like, that's why I'm even here in the first place. I'm like, oh, welcome to Baltimore.